Thanks for joining us. Tonight, as the U.S. wages war against COVID-19, there's another crisis claiming American lives, illicit fentanyl. In the last two decades, nearly 450,000 Americans dying from opioid overdoses. Now, a new National Geographic docuseries taking us deep into the world of black markets. Here's Mariana Van Zeller.
Five years ago, almost no one had heard of it. Today, it's a household name, fentanyl.
Aquí, ¿cómo lo llaman al fentanil?
Diablito.
Porque es peligroso.
Sí, un instante de muerte.
In the U.S., fentanyl is helping drive overdose deaths to record highs.
It's wiping out a generation.
While in Mexico, it's disrupting the drug trade in ways not seen in generations. But few people understand how the cartels are getting their hands on the chemicals necessary to make fentanyl, or what the fallout will be if they continue to churn these raw ingredients into more deadly pills and powders. From Mexico's cartel country to the border and into American communities.
Whoa.
I'm going deep inside the fentanyl pipeline to see exactly how it's fueling the most devastating drug epidemic in U.S. history.
¿Tú sabes lo que estás haciendo aquí, que está distribuyendo, que está matando personas en Estados Unidos?
Por eso hay mucha demanda, porque está matando muchísimas personas.
In just a few years, fentanyl has become the most popular synthetic opioid on the streets, and Mexico's cartels have stepped up to supply this demand. But it's a little-known secret that the cartels can't make the drug themselves. They first need to source these potent chemicals from somewhere or someone else.
¿Podemos hablar un minuto?
So they're saying that it was one of these big cargo ships that we see all around us that threw these barrels overseas. Then the fishing boat over here got a GPS location of where to pick them up. Picks them up, brings it up, and then there's a meeting point here where these guys come and pick it up and then take it off to land.
In 2015, fentanyl emerged on the black market in a big way. Potent, cheap, and readily available on the streets without a prescription. In the U.S., overdose rates exploded to record highs. But here in Mexico, fentanyl became a boon to the underworld economy. Which is why I've journeyed inland to witness how the cartels transform the precursor chemicals into street-ready drugs. It's happening tonight in an underground lab, where we'll get a glimpse into the future of the Mexican drug trade.
Aquí en Sinaloa, antes era pura heroína. Ya no hay más.
De la revolución de este negocio, el cambio fueron los sintéticos.
Unlike heroin, cocaine, or marijuana, fentanyl doesn't need farmland, or water, or sunshine. It can all be made in an underworld lab like this, by a handful of cartel chemists.
Este producto es la base para la M30.
So he's saying just this little amount here, if we were to ingest this somehow, this amount could kill you immediately. That's how powerful this stuff is.
¿Ponemos las máscaras ahorita?
Sí, ya.
Ahorita. Okay, everybody, we should put the masks on. This is where it starts getting dangerous here.
If these chemists combine the raw materials just right, in a matter of hours, they'll have successfully completed the next step in the process, creating sellable black market fentanyl.
This is the pure fentanyl. They mixed all the liquids that come from Asia, a lot of times from China. They mix it and they make this. Look at this stuff.
Ácido clorhídrico mezclado con ácido tartárico.
I'm hoping, really, really hoping this guy knows what he's doing here.
Aquí empieza a excitarse la molécula.
I'm starting to think my team and I should get the hell out of here. Outlaw narco-chemists accidentally kill themselves all the time.
Oof, this is so nuts.
Ahorita, no, déjame terminar.
Once the paste dries and the room clears of deadly fumes, I'm told it's okay to take off our masks.
Esta es la sustancia cruda base de las pastillas M30.
Now that the chemical ingredients are properly balanced, it's time to craft the fake M30 pills. Each one designed to mimic the look of OxyContin, the most popular painkiller in America.
Tú sabes que lo que estás haciendo está matando millares de personas en Estados Unidos, lo sabes.
Va marcada la M30 con una marca de nuestro cártel. Entonces, si esa mata a alguien, es porque alguien adulteró esa pastilla.
The ugly truth is that fentanyl supports an incredibly lucrative underworld economy. That means jobs for cartel accountants, couriers, and chemists, and for those who undertake one of the most dangerous roles in the pipeline, prepping the drugs for the final crossing into the United States. I'm watching a shadowy game of cat and mouse. In less than an hour, these drugs are headed to the most frequently crossed and one of the most heavily patrolled borders in the world. Last year, U.S. Customs and Border Protection seized more than a ton of fentanyl. And yet, these packers plan on foiling thousands of highly trained agents and billions of dollars of surveillance technology with little more than homemade ingenuity.
He has other products here. He has mustard. He has... ¿Eso qué es?
Softener.
Softener. Laundry softener. And all this is to avoid any sort of smell.
The packers tell me they'll make $2,000 for their work tonight, $400 per package. And just like everyone I've met on this journey, they do their job, and then they pass the drugs on to the next link in the supply chain. The girl he's referring to is tonight's driver. In the trafficking world, she's called a drug mule, but I'll call her Beatrice.
¿Y hoy en la noche para dónde vas?
Voy a Los Ángeles.
¿Cómo haces la frota pasar?
Con el pasaporte americano.
Beatrice tells me she's been doing this for a year and makes $3,000 per crossing. Fentanyl trafficking convictions in the U.S. have increased by nearly 5,000% over the past 6 years. And those who are caught are almost always sentenced to prison.
She has to be super nervous, you know? She's, you know, packing 5 kilos of fentanyl. So it's a very strange feeling because on the one hand, we've met her and you sort of don't want her to get caught, and I'm actually nervous for her. But on the other hand, she has a car packed with drugs that can kill a lot of people in the U.S.
It's complicated. I know Beatrice has a growing family to provide for. But in all my years reporting on the opioid crisis, it's the parents who lost sons and daughters to overdoses that I remember the most. And I can't help but wonder what they might think as I watch Beatrice attempt to carry a deadly shipment across the border. But this is how a majority of drugs are smuggled into the U.S., according to the DEA, through legal ports of entry on the southwest border, stashed in passenger vehicles or tractor trailers. And I'm here to witness it for myself.
She's stopped. She's being checked right now. I would say just put the cameras entirely down.
Just when I'm certain she's busted.
Oh my God. They're letting her go. Yeah, she's just going into her car and leaving. I can't believe it. They just let her go. I can't believe it.
When we contacted CBP for comment, they told us, quote, U.S. Customs and Border Protection seized over 750,000 pounds of illegal narcotics in 2019. Our officers remain relentless and are always working to stay one step ahead of the cartels. But with so much demand for drugs and so much money to be made, it's a difficult task. In recent years, there have been almost 200 drug overdose deaths in the U.S. every single day. And fentanyl is the major reason.
I think that's actually our woman with the drugs inside her car. There's a guy in an orange jumpsuit with a mask.
So it looks like that's where they're doing the deal, right here out in the open.
The masked men tell me they're all native Angelinos, American citizens who work directly for the Sinaloa cartel.
Do you know what's in the spectacles?
I do not know.
So can you tell me more or less where they're heading?
Oklahoma, Texas, Atlanta. This is one of the main distribution areas that we have here.
This is very much like a hot potato where they just want to get it out as soon as possible.
Got 3 non-state deployments.
Never have so many people been addicted to such a deadly narcotic. Never has the need for solutions been more urgent. I worry that the fentanyl supply chain seems too big to fail. Too many people benefit. Americans will have to find a way to slow the demand, because the suppliers will always find a faster and more profitable way to deliver the goods.
New episodes of Trafficked, an 8-part docuseries with Mariana Venzeller, airs Wednesday evenings, 9, 8 Central on National Geographic. And up next, Elliot Page's big announcement, how living his truth is boosting the visibility of the transgender community.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Coming out as transgender is never easy, but when you're an Oscar-nominated movie star, it's perhaps even more complicated. Elliot Page sharing news of his transition, using it as a way to bring attention to the dangers common in the trans community.
A simple declaration from a major Hollywood star, capturing the world's attention. Elliot Page sharing deeply personal news via Instagram, writing, "Hi friends, I want to share with you that I am trans. My pronouns are he, they, and my name is Elliot." Page rose to fame after starring as a pregnant, wisecracking teenager in the indie hit Juno, a role that earned them an Oscar nod at the age of 20.
I think I'm in love with you.
You mean his friends?
No.
His groundbreaking news sparking joy among trans activists and allies, with many sharing their support online.
When I saw Elliot Page's announcement, I was elated. I reposted it on my story.
Teek Milan is a writer, a father, an advocate, and a proud member of the trans community.
Why elation?
There's such bravery when it comes to being a trans person. And being that he is someone who has such a huge platform, it's for him to come out and tell millions of people that this is who he was, and to be met with so much love and so much care. So many people have loved me and accepted me. And so he's, you know, there is a struggle when it comes to being trans, but there's also a lot of love.
Paige's journey began years ago as an outspoken LGBTQ activist. In 2014, he came out as gay at a Human Rights Campaign conference in Las Vegas.
And I am here today because I am gay.
Paige starred alongside Leonardo DiCaprio in smash hits like Inception and as a mutant in X-Men, marrying professional dancer Emma Portner in 2018. Portner supporting her spouse's transition in an Instagram post following the actor's announcement, saying in part, "I am so proud of Elliot Page. Trans, queer, and non-binary people are a gift to this world. Elliot's existence is a gift in and of itself. Shine on, sweet E. Love you so much." While shows like Pose, Euphoria, and Orange is the New Black have shined the spotlight on trans female stories, trans male stories are often less visible. Earlier this year, trans bodybuilder Mason Caminetti shared his experience with me of transitioning.
How does society treat someone like you growing up?
It's almost like I didn't exist. Bodybuilding was something that helped me make my body more masculine.
It's the ideal man.
Yeah, for me it is.
There's definitely invisibility when we talk about trans people, trans men, particularly when we're talking about representation in media.
The battle for trans acceptance often beginning with pronouns.
Pronouns are important because pronouns is, you know, it's the stepping stone to how we identify people. And it's really important for us to respect those things.
Websites like Wikipedia and IMDb quickly scrubbing former pronouns and avoiding use of Paige's dead name, their name assigned at birth. For those in the trans community, Paige's post is seen as an act of bravery.
Elliot embraced the joy, but also said that his truth is fragile and that he admitted being scared.
You don't know how people are going to react to you in the streets. You don't necessarily know how people in your family are going to react. So there's a risk that you take. That you may sacrifice the people that you thought loved you, but that is the risk that we take to be who we are.
Highlighting the risk of violence so many trans people face, writing, "In 2020 alone, it has been reported that at least 40 transgender people have been murdered, the majority of which were Black and Latinx trans women."
Trans rights are human rights!
We took a deep dive into this disturbing problem last year.
Malaysia Booker, say her name!
Malaysia Booker!
Reporting on trans women of color who've been targeted with violence and discrimination for simply trying to live their truth.
What was your reaction to hear not one, but two trans women of color gunned down in a matter of months on the same street?
I was shocked. My reaction, honestly, was Emma next.
So much of the violence that is happening in trans communities is happening to trans women, particularly trans women of color. And this is because of not just transphobia or misplaced homophobia, but also because of sexism and misogyny and racism that is just creating like this powder keg for trans women.
Even for those who are famous, safety is no guarantee. Trans activist and star of Orange is the New Black.
You have any idea how ignorant you sound?
Posted on Instagram that she and a friend were targeted while out on a walk in Griffith Park.
All of a sudden, the guy is attacking my friend.
If Laverne Cox, who is a megastar, could be attacked, what is that saying about the girls here in New York City? What is it saying about our homeless LGBT youth? We have a lot of work to do as a culture and as a humanity.
Right. It says that wealth and celebrity and fame, it doesn't protect you.
No, it does not insulate you from transphobia, from racism, from misogyny. It does not.
And yet, Elliot Page is using their fame to fight against it.
And finally tonight, kindness is as sweet as it is contagious. To spread some cheer this year, Virgil Sweet of Largo, Florida, helping a family in need, giving away his $1,200 government stimulus check. Households impacted by the pandemic writing to the veteran about their stories.
I was forced to close because of the virus.
Virgil also asking others to give away their checks, together raising nearly $37,000 for more than 60 families. A touch of sweetness this holiday season. That's Nightline. Thanks for staying up with us. Good night, America.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.